Please be seated. I'm going to call him David, even though that's not his real name. But David told me that he had been born again. And frankly, he'd tell just about anyone who would listen all about it. Now, I've only met David twice, and I believe him. Even though I'm still not completely sure or understand what being born again actually means. See, David was a criminal. He was a thief. He was a drug addict. He dealt drugs himself, and he sometimes robbed homes and stores to feed his habit. And the first time I met David was in prison during a Kairos ministry weekend. Now, I'm not going to try to explain what a Kairos weekend is in a sermon, but suffice it to say that it's a prison ministry, and I've served on a Kairos staff twice. Kairos had truly changed David's life. He'd gone through the weekend, and he had come to some life-changing realizations. He realized that there was someone greater than himself. He realized that it was not a weakness to depend on that someone. And most importantly, he came to realize that he was not beyond God's love. That made him change how he thought about other people and how important it is to show respect for others. And as I said, he was eager to tell that story to just about anyone who would listen. David proved the old adage, you can't change a leopard's spots, to be a lie. His spots had not only changed, but they disappeared completely. He was born again. I saw it myself. And that's today's gospel. How, wonders Nicodemus, can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born again? And of course, we know the answer to that. No one can enter the womb of his mother and be born again. But one can be born from above, also translated born again, of the Spirit. And indeed, one must be born of the Spirit, Scripture tells us, if they are to enter the kingdom of heaven. Poor Nicodemus just couldn't understand the powerful metaphor that Jesus was using. But the truth is, I'm not so sure we understand it either. I don't know how the idea of being born again became co-opted by religious fundamentalism or politics. I'm still not sure how we're supposed to distinguish born-again Christians with just regular run-of-the-mill Christians. I just don't understand when being born again became an event, a simple moment of conversion or surrender or a manual act like baptism, but of course the kind of baptism that uses a whole lot more water than we use here. There's got to be more to it than that. But I think most of us would like to understand this whole theological concept just as Nicodemus did, because most of us are like Nicodemus. We're church people. We're law-abiding citizens. We're trying to do the right things. We live as we've been taught to live. We pray as we've been taught to pray. We worship as we've been taught to worship. And for the most part, all that's easy. It's what we know. But I can't help but think that this new birth of which Jesus spoke involves, it has to involve so much more. I wonder if we're too quick to believe that this idea of being born again is actually a decision we make. What if it's just a gift? A gift from a God who loves us so greatly that he sent his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. What if it's a belief that's greater than what brought Nicodemus to Jesus just because he'd seen and heard about the miracles? I think the belief that John writes about is founded in the realization that following that birth, we're called to new life. We're called to grow and to mature and to discover and question so that we may become the creation that God intends us to be. You see, being born again means absolutely nothing unless we allow ourselves to grow into the fullness of Christ. into a new life, becoming a new creation that recognizes that there is something greater than ourselves, that draws us into an understanding that depending on that divine something is not a weakness, and embraces us into a realization that we are never beyond God's love. And that can be a hard thing to allow in our lives because it might require us to change. And that's what I think Nicodemus and so many of us were unable to grasp. We'd rather new birth be a moment, an event, a decision that requires belief and nothing more. Because becoming a new creation can for some simply be too painful. When my grandson was born a few months ago, of course we were on cloud nine, and of course we sent people pictures and posted it all on Facebook. I've got pictures if you haven't seen them. But a few of us took a break from the hospital and we went out for lunch to celebrate. While there, Lori got a text from a lifelong friend telling her that the friend's mother had died the same day that my grandson was born. Her friend congratulated us and said something about the circle of life. But when Lori got that text, I couldn't help but think of an anecdote used in one of Henry Nouwen's books. Nouwen was a 20th century theologian known primarily for his writings in pastoral care. And see, Nouwen likened our own physical birth to our own physical death. A baby is perfectly content in his mother's womb. It's life as he knows it. He has everything he needs: warmth, shelter, nourishment. So when it's time to be born, the baby fights like hell not to leave his mother's womb, not knowing that what awaits him is a new and glorious life of love and wonder and joy. So it might be with death, Nouwen says. This is life as we know it. We fight like hell not to die. Not knowing, or perhaps not trusting, that what awaits us then is also a new and glorious life of love and wonder and joy. And I can't help but wonder if we human beings just aren't naturally wired to resist this idea of new birth, new life. You see, I think to be born again, some people like Nicodemus have to give up their perceived wisdom. They have to give up a life as we've always known it. Some have to give up their disbelief, and all of us have to give up our belief in our own righteousness and goodness. And that's hard. It's hard to think that our goodness doesn't count when it comes to God's love, to our deserving it, to our receiving it. Yet to be born again, I wonder if we have to give up on this debit and credit way of thinking. I wonder if we have to give up our way of confining God into little boxes of theological perfectionism and let Christ do his work in us. Because then something beyond our understanding truly can happen. It's called new life. A new way of feeling, of being, of seeing, and of thinking comes about in us. We discover new truths and new ways of dealing with life in this world, and we begin to live differently than before, even if we were content with the way life is as we've always known it. The second time I met David involved Kairos as well. It was 3 years later. It's when I knew his new birth was true, and not just an event or a weekend experience. David had served his time and he'd been paroled. He'd embarked on a new life, even while the consequences of his old life were still catching up with him. This time, David was serving on the Kairos staff. Of course, he wasn't allowed back into the prison with us. So David was serving on a kitchen crew, which was a group of people preparing meals at a nearby church that we brought into the prison. David's new birth really had given him the realization that there is something greater than himself, and that it's not a weakness to depend on that something, and most importantly, he came to realize that he was not beyond God's love. He had changed how he thought about others and how important it is to show respect for other people, and he was eager to share that story with anybody who would listen. And he told me he simply could not forget those who were as lost as he had once been. David's new birth wasn't just something that happened. It was the person he had become, living a life as God's child, and a life in which he would grow and grow into the person God yearns him to be. And was it painful? You bet it was. Was it worth it? You could bet your life on it. And that, I believe, is what Nicodemus couldn't understand. But thanks be to God, we understand it. Don't we? God love you. Amen.